What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, coming at you 5 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes all the six. Fresh Clippers content. I don't know why you're always trying to tack on more days, man. I got to be honest. I'm stretched thin. I'm working hard over here.
I'm putting in 5.5.
Anyways, we just came out of the 117-97 win over the Blazers. We're going to be kicking off today's episode, talking a little bit about that, what we liked, what we didn't like, just overall how we're feeling.
Oh, yeah.
And then it is Wednesday. We got a What You Say Wednesday. Charles put a poll out on Twitter for you guys. This one's pretty good. What player other than Kawhi or PG is most crucial to the Clippers' success moving forward? So you want to stick around to see what the fans said about that, as well as maybe hear what we think if you care. Maybe. I don't know. And then we're going to wrap things up with some shavings. It's just where we kind of open up the drawer, kick things around, see what's going on in Clipperland.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Let's do it.
So, as Will mentioned, the Clippers got the home win against the Blazers 117-97. I believe it is the current longest winning streak at home for the Clippers.
The best start to a season.
Fantastic. This game started kind of weird. The first quarter felt really good to start, and then like things got kind of shaky. But the second half was absolutely, kind of a dominating performance.
Yeah, it got out of hand.
Kind of out of nowhere.
At some point in the third, it got out of hand, and I remember the quarter like coming to a close and being like, oh, well, I guess this one's over now.
Yeah, you look up at the screen and you're like, huh. All right.
There was a lot to like about this one, I feel like. So we might as well start there.
Who do we give credit to for having the great game first? Because two guys had absolutely phenomenal performances.
There's only one answer.
Patrick Patterson. Yeah, Patrick. Yeah. In a game where we're down Landry Shamet and Jermichael Green, Patrick Patterson became both.
Dude rose up.
It was unbelievable. He 6 of 10.
Yep.
5 of 7 from 3. I believe at one point had a 4 of 4 streak going.
Yeah. He started out 100% field goal percentage. He was incredible.
19 points.
Yeah, it wasn't just the scoring, though.
Dude.
He also added 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal.
It was fantastic. The defense was, didn't have to be too top-notch tonight.
Yeah. Dude was green lit though. He was ready to go.
I mean, it's incredible how this is exactly what we needed in the absence of the two guys that are the two, we risked Magruder too, but of exactly what Landry and Jermichael do, it's just this.
Yeah. Well, and if you listen to this podcast, Charles and I are fans of Patrick Patterson.
We've come around. We did not we were not too high on the Patrick Patterson signing. We didn't know exactly what it was going to bring in terms of effectiveness.
If you wanted to freeze and cold take us, go back to around the dates that
happened.
Feel
free.
Go ahead. Figure it out.
That's my take.
But he's a great locker room presence, and I think that this was like just – this to me was emblematic of – obviously, this high is never what we're going to have to ask of him to do, but it's just another one of those things where just knowing that it can be there –
it's a little comforting.
Is a little bit comforting, and – Doc said something also that was super reassuring about Patrick Patterson as a teammate, just saying that, he's gone through this super rough transition of he was a starter to playing 0 minutes. To a stretch where
Where
he did not play minutes in a game for a while. But Doc said, to look at him pregame, to look at his routine before, you would think he was going to play 40 that night.
Yeah, he's pouring sweat.
Yeah.
After pregame stuff. He had a fantastic night. Trez had what I'm now calling possible $100 million contract if he keeps it up games.
If you're lucky. If you're lucky, you can maybe get him for $100 million.
26 points on 84% shooting. Also added 9 boards. Completely took over in the second half. It was vintage Trez, but somehow better than vintage Trez.
Yeah. The finishing was really solid. It seemed like he could. It seemed like anything that touched his hands, he was capable of putting in.
Yeah,
he had I think he had a dribble. It felt like it was all the way from half court.
He went coast to coast at one point in this game.
Yeah, and
which I'm normally terrified of.
We're normally once Trez takes a couple dribbles, we're like, yeah, maybe something more this thought cool. out needs to happen. No, he looked great. Confidence was there, as it always is with Trez. But
that's not going anywhere.
The handle was there to back up the confidence.
And paired with Trez, we got to talk about, I mean, the loop and Trez pick and roll was working great in the second half.
They don't.
Blazers couldn't really do anything.
They don't have the personnel, really, to guard that.
At one point, so I was looking, if you just look at the court when the Kawhi is on the floor and there's a Lou and Trez pick and roll happening, how do you defend it? You have to have gravity on Kawhi, but then you're leaving, there's no help.
And that's
the
thing
and
is, we'll get into this in what we didn't like, but this was a night maybe where Kawhi didn't, from an offensive perspective, deserve the gravity.
From scoring specifically, yeah, he really didn't. But we will get into that. But we got to get, I mean, Patterson, Trez. And then, of course, Paul George, which we'll talk about. And we'll talk about right now. 25 on 14 shots?
Yeah.
Absurdly efficient. In the first quarter, I mean, he absolutely kind of did what he's been doing in first quarters. He was 3 for 9, 9 points, 4 boards. I don't know.
He shot 86% from three tonight.
Yeah, so we had three. It was
it's unreal.
It was crazy. What else did we like?
I liked defensively what we were able to do with this backcourt. We held Dame to only 16 points, which is far below his average of 27 a game. Mo guarded him for a fair amount of possessions, and
which Doc loves. Doc talks about that every single time someone asks about Mo in the presser. He'll go, you know, we had him guard Dame.
And, I mean, that was probably, I mean, not even probably. That was Mo Harkless's biggest contribution to this game.
Offensively,
he was not really able to make much happen. However, he only took two attempts, so it's, you know, it's kind of hard to judge that.
Yeah, that wasn't his job tonight.
But that was his, you know, like, that was his crowning achievement of the night.
Definitely.
And it was, you know, like, it was well deserved, and it just made things a little bit more comfortable going in the second half. The defense wasn't really that great in the first half.
No.
Which I guess we can just move into things that we didn't like at this point.
I want one more note about the second half defense.
All right.
If I may. Only allowed 38 points in the second half. Defense as a whole, no one really went off against us tonight.
No.
Which I was a little worried about.
Yeah.
CJ McCollum ended up with 20. He did shoot 52%, which is great, but wasn't enough. Whiteside had 18 and 13, so he kind of went off, I guess, but nullified. Didn't really matter. So let's get into what we didn't like, which was most of the first quarter.
Yeah. I mean,
the beginning of the first quarter was great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we were just making ourselves work a lot harder, I feel like, than was really necessary.
Yeah, definitely.
Just not getting stops. And it's one of those things where I guess they were matching our efforts in terms of, like, they were also shooting the ball incredibly well.
Yeah.
But Doc had an interesting point where he said it's like one of these things has to break. And it's like,
it
can go either way.
He mentioned they made no second half adjustments, which is another thing Doc likes to talk about.
He says that every time, so yeah. I kind of refuse to believe. Like, I don't.
Every game they're not making second half adjustments.
I think it's a little bit of a Docism, but, like,
for sure.
I mean, like, I can vibe with, like, you have a game plan and, like,
you stick to it.
There's something to executing for real, you know?
Yeah. But you make some adjustments, maybe.
I think you make some.
He does. That is a new Docism for sure. But the first quarter,
I love that. Like, we made adjustments. Can you believe it?
We didn't change anything.
Can you believe it?
I mean, I do believe it sometimes, but yeah. Kawhi's shooting was tough in this one. Really, only the shooting was tough.
Yeah, and this is I feel like we're maybe being a little bit nitpicky of a dislike on this one because shoot, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't call Kawhi a shooter, but yeah.
3 for 15 is rough. And he did acknowledge it in game that he was getting really good looks. They just wasn't able to knock him down. There was a stretch early on where I feel like he was kind of taking some contested mid-range shots, which normally do go in for him, so they're like not things that I nitpick that much. But yeah. when they're not going in and it's early in the shot clock, it gets a little bit...
What's going on?
Come on.
Yeah, that's fair.
We don't have to do this. We're playing the Trailblazers. We're not desperate for a bucket right now.
Yeah, Doc said that in the post-game presser. He was like, sometimes when the game started to get a little out of hand, it was like kind of guys going like, all right, your turn. And that's not what they need. He 9 boards, 5 dimes, 2 steals otherwise.
Oh, he was all over the game.
Yeah.
Still incredibly impactful.
I think we actually forgot 2 things in what we liked. From 2 young guys.
All right.
Terrence Mann took and made a 3.
Yep.
Which was great.
Yeah, he finished 1 for 3.
Doc said he was threatening to take 3s. And Jerome played good defense.
Jerome played very solid defense. At one point, he got a block and a bucket in a pretty short succession.
That was nice.
It was nice to see. He then, from the floor, though, that since we're in dislikes, would go 2 for 10.
Hey, shoot or shoot?
Shooters do shoot. I'm never selling my timeshare on Jerome Island.
Wait, you have a timeshare? I thought you owned it.
I own it. Okay. No, I own it.
You're really in on Jerome Island.
It is a little discouraging, though, to see him unable to knock down some of the more open looks.
LA Clippers film had a great tweet where he said, Jerome is now a shooter who can't shoot, which is frustrating to see. And I was like, damn. That is accurate. It like kind of hurt.
Yeah.
Because it is accurate right now. He's not shooting the ball well.
Yeah. And I think maybe he's rushing a little or...
But the defense was good to see.
The defense was great to see.
But the young guys played well. Fee went 1 of 1 from 3. Immediately put one up.
Yeah.
Nailed it. So how we
didn't feel, get enough minutes, which we also didn't minutes. Like, yeah. you know?
Neither did Derek Walton. How are we feeling?
You know, honestly,
heading into the road trip.
Honestly, I think it's like a solid win. It's not a win that I'm like really patting myself on the back for.
I'm going the opposite. I absolutely am.
Okay, that's fair.
Sorry, I'll let you finish how you're feeling.
I feel a little...
This one made you tired. I'm feeling great.
All right.
It's not a statement win in any way.
No.
It's nothing like that. It's just one of those, that was a good win. You know, it's one of those. You go home and you're not overly joyous, but you sit down, you crack open a beer. That was a good win.
One thing I will say that I am pretty pumped on is they did manage to play Montrez, Kawhi, Paul, and Lou all under 30 minutes. So
love that.
You know, that's
a good win.
That's the yawn. Everyone's okay. Well rested.
Everyone's well rested for sure. Let us know what you guys thought about the win. You can find us, you know, at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mackler. Coming back for this, we got a What You Say Wednesday. But first, got to talk about Audible. Will, what is Audible?
Audible is the world's largest source for audiobooks and audio entertainment.
Wow.
Start listening today with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and 2 Audible originals,
hey,
which are also audiobooks, absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. Are you listening on the go?
Always.
Of course you are. You're an on-the-go professional. You can have it all. If you can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers.
Welcome to What You Say Wednesday. We need a song or something or like a... Some will come up.
I don't think there's ever been a song in which those words have been said. So
ever. So we threw out the Clipper Nation fan poll on Twitter. You can always vote with that. I Locked On Clips. Put it out on Tuesday around 7:30 in the morning. If you want to vote for it right when it drops.
Do it.
If you're the first vote and you can prove it, I don't know. I'll send Venmo you $5.
You're going to Venmo Sony $5 every week for doing this?
If they can prove it, yeah. The question this week.
You can screenshot it, just by the by.
I mean, hey, we'll see how many people claim it. What player other than Kawhi or PG is most crucial to the Clippers' success going forward? Only four options per poll, so people could comment below if their choice didn't make it. Once again, very few comments.
Okay.
The choices were Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, and Landry Shamet. We left off Jamichael Green.
Uh-huh.
Not deliberately, just there wasn't room, and I figured maybe some people wouldn't vote for him. He did get a vote in the comments. There was also one vote for Zubats.
That's insane.
And half a vote for Harkless.
Ooh, okay.
So who would you pick out of these guys? And then we'll get to the results.
So what do you mean by moving forward? Do you mean, so are you saying if one of these guys gets injured this season, or are you saying pick one of these guys that we get to keep other than Kawhi RPG, like moving the franchise forward?
No, I just meant in terms of the season.
Oh.
In terms of play. You thought way too highly of my question, which I appreciate. It was much simpler than that.
I'm going to say Trez.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm going to say Trez. You know, I go back and forth on this, like what the role is of the five in the NBA. Like
today,
do centers matter? Do they matter? In Montrez's case, I have to say 100% yes. He's such a crucial part of like...
The off-the-bench center, specifically, I feel like is what makes it.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that if this piece is gone, the ceiling for our success is lower.
That's a great... Yeah.
Any other piece on here, although I would hear the argument. I mean, obviously, you could make a strong argument to me for anyone on this list, though I'm surprised Patrick Beverley's votes were so low.
So that was going to be my pick. I was going to pick Patrick Beverley because if he were not on the team, the guard situation is a mess for the most part. It's just if Patrick Beverley, he just does, you know, he does a bunch of stuff that we need.
Yeah.
That not a lot of other people do.
Yeah.
But
he's also a leader.
Yes. 44% voted for Lou Williams. 35% voted for Montrezl Harrell. 12% voted for Pat Bev. 9% voted for Landry Shamet.
So
the arguments for Landry Shamet were once he hits a stride, like you, I think you were talking about it before he hurt his ankle. The guy was shooting the lights out.
Not this season, but.
Yeah. He was hitting his stride a little bit.
Yeah.
Before
the last three games.
Yeah, before he hurt the ankle, he was shooting great. But there says his spacing and everything, that was the big argument for him. No one commented why they voted for Patrick Beverley, which is classic Patrick Beverley fans, and I respect it. But Trez, for the same reason kind of you said, he just, that bench unit's so incredible with him. But Lou Will winning, are you surprised by that at all?
No. Lou Will has bailed us out of so many things. And I don't know what this team looks like without Lou Will.
This is a tough one.
And
I was surprised he got so many votes. Almost half the people voted for Lou.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Like, he's pulled us out of so many games. He's the first sub in.
Always.
Always.
Yeah, it's always him, and it's always Trez. They always goes Lou, and then he kind of sees how Zoo's playing, which offensively, a little rough against the Blazers.
Yeah.
Brought Trez in. Trez being second. Yeah, I mean, this shakes out. He got a big percentage of about 35%.
It's interesting the disparity between like these two players and then Pat Bev.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's that's a pretty steep drop off from 35% to 12.
12, yeah. So a nice thing. I mean, Lou Will and Trez make it possible for this Clippers team to survive nights when Kawhi shoots 20%.
Yep.
And outscore the starters.
Mm-hmm.
Like they did again, like tonight. On a team with Paul George and Kawhi.
Yeah.
Do we still have the best bench in the league like we did last year?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Whose bench is better?
I don't know if... I mean, no one's. The consistency of how good the bench has been offensively has been great.
What did you think of the second unit against the Blazers tonight that was Jerome, Mann, who was it? Lou, Patterson, Trez?
Trez. Loved.
I don't know if I loved it. Patterson made it look great because he was playing so well.
New starters.
That's the new move. The new wave is complete confusion. So we're going to get into actually the starters. We got not a Landry Shamet update, but I don't know. He was playing some lighthearted jokes on Doc. He definitely seems like he's ready to come back. Shavings coming up right after this.
Hey, it's Shavings.
Another one we need like a sound or something for. So
I imagine like an electric pencil sharpener.
Oh, that's a good call. Someone asked about Shamet's fit into the team once he was back. I believe it was Sabrina. Doc spoke of him returning in a starter sense 100%.
Yeah.
He said that, you know, he liked the added shooting, gives some fluctuations as to who can play the four between Paul George and Kawhi, which indicates it's going to be Bev, Sham, PG, Kawhi, Zoo. So Mo's out. First of all, do you like the decision? Do you like the lineup more with Mo or with Sham?
I mean, I feel like this is a conversation we've been having back and forth since the summer.
Yeah, and now it's tangible. Well, hopefully soon, which we'll get to in a sec as well.
So I think I've come around to actually liking Mo in the starting lineup.
Oh, okay.
Just the defensive versatility with those three wing guys is just insane.
Yeah. The defensive shape is starting to look more attractive than the offensive one in terms of the starters. Because the offense is still there.
Yeah.
Compared to Shamet. You know what I'm saying? Compared to Shamet and Mo when you switch those guys.
But how great would it be like if even, like with Kawhi and Paul George, our bench is still outscoring our starters because we have Lou Will, Landry Shamet, Jamichael Green, Montrezl Harrell.
Patrick Patterson.
Light you up. Just all coming off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a little more pro Shamet on the bench too, just because of that, and
just the spacing.
It's an offensively fantastic bench to think about, and the defense can be learned or tightened up or as things go. Once the continuity gets there as well, because I think that's a big issue too.
The more spacing you can put around Lou and Trez, I mean, like, the more they can just work.
And you can throw Magruder in there to switch things out, too.
Yeah.
If you need more of a defensive stance, obviously.
And that's the only, like, argument that I have for coming around to Jamichael not starting at the four would be it's just all the extra space on the second unit.
Yeah.
Starting at the five, however, all that conversation right now.
Yeah, you're definitely pro him starting at the five, which I'm still vehemently against. I thought it was candid of Doc to talk to it about it. So I mean, I guess it's not that big of a surprise, but it was just crazy for him to be like, yeah, it's going to be great once we get him back in the lineup to be able to flux this. Do you think Paul George or Kawhi cares who plays the four?
Because
Doc kind of jokes about that. He's like, we don't call it the four. We call it the three and the three, which is classic dad joke, I would say.
No, I don't think that they care. I don't think that they care. It would be different. I think it would honestly be different if they played in the East.
Oh, that's an interesting...
Just because you're...
Damn, I haven't heard that take.
I just feel like you're dealing with more of those sorts of, like, bigs and like those sorts of fours that you don't want to be guarding night in and night out, but,
for sure.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just like, other than like the Lakers, I'm not just thinking of that many like power forwards that I'm like, oh damn, I do not want Kawhi guarding that guy because of the physicality.
I would say Gallo.
I mean, okay, all right. No one should guard Gallo.
And
he's
then,
too strong.
I mean, PJ Tucker's not a fun
Yeah, that's
four
fair.
Go against. But yeah. He's not getting the ball, but he's still bruising you. But I see what you're saying.
I just feel like you play less of those sort of like front court type players.
Okay, for sure.
So much is like guard driven in the West.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the backcourt.
Am I incorrect?
No, I think you're right. I mean, we played a crazy backcourt tonight.
Yeah.
When Golden State is healthy, theoretically.
I'm just trying to think of like, Kings. Yeah, like bruising fours like that or like super downhill fours that I'm like, oh, I do not want to waste the health of Kawhi or Paul George on those, on like, you know, the defensive end doing that. And maybe, you know, that's where the sliding lineup comes into play.
Yeah, so it was like, okay, yeah, that's the Mo and Shamit might be the sliding pieces.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll rotate? Oh, go ahead.
Mo, Landry, and Pat are the sliding pieces. Pat.
If it's hot, what if Doc is just like, you're in tonight? He's just making last minute switches. So just checking out some of these power forwards real quick. You got Paul Millsap.
Old.
He old.
But no, Paul Millsap is good. Like, I'll get it.
No, I'm just talking about like physicality wise.
I mean, like the Nuggets is a hard front court to take on, but they're like, yeah, they're so big.
Favors. But I guess he kind of plays a five more. I guess I'm not as worried about the durability from these guys. I'd be a little more worried for Paul George because of the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I have no true logic to back that up, but that would worry me more.
I also think Kawhi is more of a four than Paul George is, if that makes sense.
He's bigger.
Yeah.
He's much more sturdy. Not that Paul George isn't, but yeah, Kawhi is stout.
And he's a physical guy. Like his play,
yeah, he plays physically.
He's physical. I mean, like, and not that Paul George isn't or can't be.
But he's a much smoother. Like,
it's different. It's, yeah. Yeah.
The update, there was kind of a Landry Shamit injury update. Doc asked, it was either Doc asked him or Shamit just went up and said to him, I'm traveling
with
the team.
He's traveling with the team, yeah.
Which is a good sign. And then Doc asked, are you playing? And he just confidently said, yes. And then Doc said he didn't believe him. So that's the update we got on Landry Shamit's injury. There was an update on Magruder. Magruder also said he was going to be traveling and playing with the team. They didn't talk about Jermichael's if he was going to be out, which is great. We're going to have a more full-strength team going into that road game than we did last time.
Yeah.
I know it's a couple days out. How are you feeling about that game?
Good.
Feeling good, too.
Strong.
Now, do we think they practice in between now and that game?
Who cares?
Who cares, man? The game is practice. Anything else in the shavings you want to add?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it was funny tonight. Really seemed like Melo was going to get some superstar calls in the beginning. Glad that didn't pan out.
Yeah. What did he finish with? 7 points? 6 points?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. They lost. for tomorrow's episode, we are going to have a Thirsty Thursday where we're talking about what we want to see more of. We are also going to have just kind of a talk about the first quarter of the season as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Kicking some things around. Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, of course, will be in the shavings. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can find us on iTunes. Please rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff.
We love it.
Find us on Twitter at Will Updike, at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.